Please take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 21, John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. And let us stand together as we give honor to the reading of God's Word. And remember, God's Word is holy, inerrant, infallible, and authoritative. John chapter 21, verse 15. So, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. At this time we ask, as the psalmist asked you, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your law. O Lord, illumine our minds and our eyes to discover wonderful truths from your word. And therefore we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit and prepare our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In order to serve in God's kingdom, we must have right relationship with Christ. Our offenses, our sins, strain or even create a great rift in our relationship with Christ. And consequently, they can affect the effectiveness of our ministry. Hence, restoration is necessary in order for us to be right with Christ. And this is what we notice in this very passage. Christ initiates graciously for Peter's relationship to be restored with Christ. So we are going to examine this text under five headings. Number one, devotion to Christ. Devotion to Christ, verses 15 through 16. Second, repentance of Peter, verse 17. And third, shepherd of Christ's flock, verse 17. Fourth, prediction of Peter's death, prediction of Peter's death, verses 18 through 19. And finally, the fifth heading is discipleship of Peter. Discipleship of Peter, verse 19. A lot of things are found in these several verses. But let me walk you through slowly as we will discover profound truths in this passage. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, devotion to Christ, verses 15 through 16. Devotion to Christ. Last week, we saw the ministry of the resurrected Christ. The disciples went fishing, and the whole night they caught nothing. And the resurrected Christ from the shore commanded the disciples to cast out the net on the right side of the boat. And we all know they caught 153 fish. And then Jesus in humility served the hungry disciples with breakfast at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the breakfast was fish and bread on the hot fire coals. That's what we saw in the previous passage. So now we come to verse 15. And the Apostle John writes in this way. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? After the breakfast, Jesus had an intimate conversation with Peter. An intimate conversation of careful interrogation, examining Peter's devotion to Christ. So Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? It's a very pointed question. A pointed question towards Peter. And Christ used the word love. Do you love me? And the word love here, used here is agape love. Agape means the highest love. Sacrificial love. That's what it means. So, in other words, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? To put it very simple. But let us not ignore the other words. Do you love me more than this? So what does Christ mean by that? Peter, do you love me more than this? What did he mean by that? In other words, Jesus was asking Peter, is your love greater than the other disciples? The other disciples being Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and others. Is your love greater than the other disciples? This was the question towards Peter by Christ. And why did Christ pose such a question to Peter? And so we must go to Matthew chapter 26 in order to understand why Jesus asked this question in this way. Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. Let me refresh your memory. Verse 31, Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. So these things happened before Christ was arrested. And there, Peter boasted that he would not fail in his devotion to Christ. And he boasted that even the other disciples stumbled, he would not stumble. So what are we seeing in Peter? Peter lacked humility. He was prideful. He was self-absorbed, self-confident, and self-exalting. And sometimes we are like Peter in our Christian walk, aren't we? And so let us remember these words found in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18, which says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's what we saw in Peter's life. Peter was prideful, and that led to his downfall. In response to Peter's self-confidence, Christ predicted that Peter would deny Christ three times that he knew Jesus. And so Peter failed in his devotion for Christ, and he denied Christ three times on the day of his arrest. In other words, Peter turned his back on Christ. Why? Because he feared death and crucifixion. In other words, he actually betrayed Christ. But in this passage, Peter answered in this way, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the love that he used is different from what Christ used. Christ used the word agape, the highest form, highest expression of love, sacrificial love. But the love that Peter used, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And this word love is different from agape. Peter used the word phileo, which means affection. He was telling Christ, Jesus, I have affection for you at this time. At this time, Peter dare not use the word agape, but phileo. And Jesus asked the second time, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter answered that he had phileo love for Christ. Jesus asked the third time, do you love me? Again, Peter replied, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter rightly acknowledged the attribute of Christ, that Christ is omniscient. He said, you know all things. Nothing is hidden from you. Meaning Christ is divine. He knew the heart of Peter. And so Jesus stopped interrogating Peter, for he knew all about Peter. Peter's love was affirmed to be genuine and sincere. In his words, he showed humility. He would not exalt himself above the other disciples in comparison to the affection that he had for Christ. Christ desires our sinful devotion. That's what we can learn from these few verses. Christ desires our sincere devotion. And that's what he expected from Peter also. And so, do you have devotion to Christ? Do you love him? Are you committed to him? And no one can deceive Christ, because Christ is omniscient. So do you have devotion to Christ? We come to the second heading, repentance. Repentance of Peter. Look at verse 17. He said to him the third time, Jesus said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? So the Apostle John records for us what was Peter's emotional state. Peter was grieved. In other words, he was made sad or sorrowful or distressed because of the kind of questions Jesus asked. Do you love me? Peter was grieved. What does that show to us? Repentance. It's a sign of Peter's repentance. Peter was made sad, sorrowful, distressed because of his past act of denying Christ. Peter's conscience was pricked. And why did Christ ask such painful, heart-searching, penetrating questions? Because Christ desired repentance in Peter. And restoration for him. Christ desired that Peter would have a deeper love for Christ and new obedience for Christ. What do we learn from the Shorter Catechism, question 87? What is repentance unto life? The answer is this: repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. That is Christian life. We must lead a life of repentance. Every day we sin, but we cannot sin habitually. We must repent from our sins and turn to new obedience by the grace of God. So repentance and restoration are necessary for us to have a deeper love for Christ and new obedience towards Christ. Repentance and restoration are necessary, and that is what is happening in this passage. Christ wanted Peter to repent and to be restored in his relationship to Christ. And for you, read the Bible. The Bible will lead you to repent and restore your relationship with Christ. The Bible is a mirror. The Bible as a mirror reflects and shows and exposes our sins. In the Bible, the law, the Word of God, will lead us to Christ. And that's the purpose of the law in the Bible. So read the Bible. We come to the third heading, Shepherd of Christ's Flock. Look at verse 17. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. The repentance in Peter led to the restoration of his relationship with Christ. Hence, Christ commanded Peter to feed his sheep. In verse 17. But prior to verse 17, in verse 15, Christ commanded Peter to feed my lambs. And then in verse 16, tend my sheep. And then finally, feed my sheep. So here Christ commissions and commands Peter to shepherd his flock. You know, earlier on, Christ taught his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you see the relationship? How can we keep Christ's commandments if we don't have love for Christ? And that's what Christ is doing here. Peter, do you love me? If you do, feed my sheep. Obey my commandment. And now, after affirming Peter's love for Christ, Christ commands Peter to feed his sheep. And Christ said, my sheep, my sheep. You know, you and I, being God's people, are God's sheep. God claims us to be his sheep. Because God cares for his people. And thus assigns shepherds to provide spiritual care for his sheep. And therefore Peter was required to be a responsible shepherd, unlike the Old Testament shepherds who did not care for the sheep. You know, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2, it reads like this. Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? That was the problem with the shepherds in the Old Testament. They did not feed God's people. Good shepherds should care for the sheep. Sheep referring to God's people. God's people, many times referred as sheep because sheep is a weak animal. It's a weak animal. Sheep depended on the shepherds for guidance. And likewise, we are like sheep. Our tendency is to stray away like the sheep. And therefore, we need the shepherd's care and guidance. And we need to be fed with the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, man needs bread for energy, for strength, for physical strength. What about our souls? We need strength for our souls. We need food for our souls. And that's why we need the Word of God for our souls. So God gives the responsibility of feeding his people to the shepherds. In this case, Peter. Christ entrusted this important task to Peter. to feed his sheep. You know, if Christ found that to be important, what about you? Do you desire to be fed spiritually? Christ cares for your souls. But do you care for your souls? What are you doing for your souls to be fed spiritually? Think about that. How can you be fed spiritually? How can your souls be fed? Think about it. Are you receiving the Word of God daily? Are you reading God's Word? And here, Christ commands Peter to feed his sheep. Christ didn't want his sheep to be malnourished by the spiritual food, of the spiritual food. Now we come to the fourth heading, prediction of Peter's death, verses 18 and 19. Prediction of Peter's death. Look at verse 18 very carefully. Most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This verse is speaking about the state of being a young person and an old person. So what is this? What does this verse exactly mean? In order to understand verse 18, we must look at verse 19. Because verse 19 gives us the hint. Look at verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. The Apostle John tells us and gives us a commentary of what verse 18 means. By what death Peter would die. In other words, Peter would die by crucifixion. Okay, crucifixion. Look at verse 18. You will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. In other words, Christ was predicting the way Peter would die. That Peter would die by crucifixion. He would experience martyrdom, a brutal death. This is the prediction of Peter's death. You know, there are many ways to glorify God. Some die by natural death, accidents, sickness, disease, health issues, and old age. But for Peter, Christ predicted death by crucifixion. Christ added that his death would glorify God. Look at verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Peter, in his ministry, faced many persecutions, mob attacks. You will read it in the book of Acts. And sources reveal that Peter died by crucifixion during the reign of Nero in AD 60. Some say he died upside down, but that, not sure whether it is really true or not, but tradition says so. But certainly he died by crucifixion, according to the prediction here. But the question we need to ask is this: what prepared Peter for martyrdom? What prepared Peter to die by crucifixion? Remember, Peter feared arrest and crucifixion. And hence he denied that he knew Christ. He was scared of crucifixion. But later in his life, the grace of God prepared him for martyrdom, for crucifixion. Isn't it amazing how God works out in people's lives, especially in the life of the Apostle Peter? Peter served Christ and indeed died for Christ by bringing glory to God. So do you live to glorify God? Have you thought about how you can glorify God? One can glorify God in health and sickness, in life and death. Nevertheless, our goal in life should be to glorify God. As we eat and drink, we should glorify God. In other words, in everything that we do, our goal should be to glorify God. What is the chief end of man? As the catechism asks this question, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are created for the purpose to enjoy God and to glorify Him and to worship Him. That is the main purpose for His creation of man. So we come to the last heading, discipleship of Peter, verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, okay, when Christ had spoken all these things, Christ said to Peter, follow me, follow me. Remember, Christ called Peter 3 years ago to follow him. The discipleship of Peter began 3 years ago and it continued. Matthew chapter 4 verse 18 and 19. Listen to this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There they immediately left their nets and followed him. So Andrew and Peter followed Christ. But prior to this passage, Peter encountered a great test, test of his faith, test of his devotion to Christ. But now, he has repented. His relationship was restored. Christ, the great shepherd, good shepherd, perfect shepherd, commanded Peter to follow him. Peter was a sheep to Christ. Peter needed to humble himself to follow Christ first, before he can serve as the shepherd of his flock. This is an honorable office, being a shepherd, being an elder. It was a command to Peter, which required new obedience to Christ. It was a renewal of commitment and devotion to Christ. And therefore Christ said, follow me. So in this passage we saw five headings: devotion to Christ, repentance of Peter, shepherd of Christ's flock, prediction of Peter's death, discipleship of Peter. Before I leave this text, I would like to point to you these things. Did you notice that Christ was very sensitive to the weakness and sin of Peter? He dealt with Peter's sin with gentleness and great wisdom. And likewise, Christ deals with us with our weaknesses and sins. He cares for our souls and desires our love and obedience. Will you love Him? Will you obey Him? Will you have devotion to Christ? If you do not know Christ, then come and know Him. May He be your shepherd. And when He is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. In this life, we do not really need wealth, material things, or other things. What we all need is Christ the shepherd, and we will not lack anything. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for this wonderful text. Lord, we admit that there are many profound truths found even within these several verses. Help us to meditate upon them and enable us to apply the truths, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.